I am praying for you. I am praying for your family. I am praying for your situation, right? How many of us have had that said to us? Hopefully all of you. How many of us have a raise of hands? How many of you had that said to you? Good, good. You're in the right place. I'm so glad you can join us today. My name's Keith Harcombe, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we are in the middle of our series. Well, we're at the end, actually, of our series, How I Love You. Specifically, how do I love God? How do you love God? What is it that we can do to show others, to show God that we love Him? In the first week, we talked about how we needed to love justice, to love mercy, to be merciful, and to walk humbly with our God. That was the first week. And to do that, we need prayer. Amen? To love God, we need prayer. The second week, Pastor Kathy talked about how we can love God by showing how we care for people, how we care for people. Some of you, you're not doing it this week, but how do we care for people? We have that emoji with the arms around the heart that says, the way we care for people shows how much we love God. Last week, we talked about how we heal people, how our presence, even with our bodies, even with doctors and nurses and amazing healthcare systems, still our prayers can help people healing. Amen. And this week, we are talking about prayer. Prayer specifically by itself. What does that look like? What is prayer? You send the emoji around all the time, praying for you, thank you, whatever comes up when you type it in, praying. What does it mean? What does it mean when we say we'll be praying for you? Well, prayer is communication to God the Father. For those of us who follow Jesus, it's communication to those to God the Father. I want to talk to you, God. I want to seek you. I want to ask you something. I want to beg of you for healing and for peace in the Ukraine, amen? And we ask God, we come before Him and we seek Him and we ask, speak into this situation, God. We want to hear from you. It's a conversation sometimes. Sometimes it's a long conversation. Sometimes it's a quick one. This is more than somebody, you know, you might have heard people say, oh, my thoughts and prayers are with you. You might have heard people say, oh yeah, I'll be praying for you and your family. Maybe they did, maybe they don't. Well, there's an expression in England that says, if you see somebody going into worship or you see somebody going in for prayer, or somebody says, I'm going to pray for you, then you say, oh, say one for me. I'm going to say that to you. Say one for me, will you? Just means like, you know, mention me kindly in prayer, you know. Put a word in for me, you know. Friend of mine, Tony Preston, long-term friends. We were good friends because we used to ride bikes together. And we go on these crazy rides together. And Tony and I were completely different in the way we lived our life. You know, Tony was quiet, reflective, and an introvert. I was not. Tony was somebody who, you know, took weight of the fact that he had two ears and one mouth, and he listened really well and thought about what he was about to say. I did not. And yet, Tony showed me more about the love of God and the more love of Jesus and the way he prayed for me when we were friends together. He replicated God's love to me. He imitated who Jesus was and his teaching to me, and he participated by praying for me. Tony was a good Roman Catholic, and he upheld all of his traditions and all of his prayers and everything that his mother and father had taught him and brought him up to be. And one day he was in his quiet, reflective way, walking around this Roman Catholic church that he was in. We used to travel a lot and got to see different expressions of church. And he was in this one particular church, and he was walking around and looking at the different things that were on the wall, you know, different signs and marble kind of cutouts. And while he was in there, you know, he was said his prayers kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, the priest walks down into the church. And he knew he was a priest because he had his collar on. And he was in black. And they talked for a little while and says, you know, what's your name, Tony? And the priest says, I'm off to pray now. And Tony says, oh, good. Say one for me. And the priest said, sure, and sat him down next to him and started to pray with him. And later, when he was telling me the story, he said to me, when I asked him to pray for me, I didn't mean sit down and pray with his hands over me for 30 minutes. Where did Tony learn to replicate this? Where did Tony learn to imitate that, the teachings of Jesus? Where did Tony learn to participate in prayer? Pray more than just say one for me. Where did he learn this kind of interaction with God? So much so that he wanted me to know this. Well, we have the best place for prayer and mention of prayer when Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. That's where we're going to go today. John 17, if you've got your Bible with you, open it to John chapter 17. If you're using a tablet or a phone, go there now. Just type it in, John 17. If you're online, open up another tab. And John 17 is where we are. And this is the only account where we have that Jesus prayed. This is the only account where we have Jesus' long prayer. Now, this prayer was lots more than just thoughts and prayers. Yeah, this was a lot more than just, oh, mention me politely in prayer. No, this was like a sit down, kneel down on your knees, sweat, blood, and tears kind of prayer. And this is the kind of prayer that Jesus prays to his Father. So it's just before the arrest in the garden. It's just before Judas comes to show everybody whom Jesus is. It's before they get to the garden, and Jesus is praying in front of his disciples. And there's kind of three big areas that he prays about here in John chapter 17. First of all, he thanks God, his Father, the Father, that he has been able to communicate his glory. He thanks God that he's able to glorify God. And he doesn't even mention a cross. He mentions that this is glory. It was the common death machine of the day. And now, because Jesus died on it and defeated death, it then becomes the symbol of glory. Amen? Jesus was resurrected. And he says to God the Father, I have done what you've asked me to do. I have brought you glory. I have given that glory back to you and showed everybody else the glory, and I am going to the cross, and it's going to be done. That's the first thing he says. The glory equals the cross, and the cross equals the glory. I am going to leave here knowing that I have done this. You know I've done it, God. You know I've done it, God the Father. The next thing he says in the next section is that I have given these things. I have given these to the disciples, the 11 disciples. Of course, Judas is off on his way, choosing to do his own thing. He says, but I've given this message, I've given this glory to the 11. I have given it to the disciples, and you've entrusted to me. They've know it well. In fact, we know that they know it well. They finally get it, because back in chapter 16, the disciples say to Jesus, at last you are speaking plainly. Now we understand that you know everything. There's no need to question you anymore. From this, we believe that you came from God? And that was the big question. Did Jesus come from God the Father, Yahweh? Did Jesus, the Messiah, come from God the Father? And then Jesus asked, do you finally believe? That's the end of chapter 16. Do you finally believe? And he finally understood that they did believe. He says, now that you've got that, the disciples have got it. Now, God the Father, I want you to protect them. So this is Jesus the Messiah about to go to the cross, about to die for everybody's sin, no more sacrificial system, praying that the disciples he's given him will be protected from the evil one, will be protected from the evil one. He says to him, God, they've got it. They've figured out now. Protect them from the evil one when I leave. So that's the first couple of sections. And then the section I really want to focus on is where Jesus prays. And we're going to get to verse 20 is where I want you to read. Read along with me. Follow along with me as you might see something a little different here. Verse 20 says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they would all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me. Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. This verse reads a little clunky in all of our English translations, but I'm sure when Jesus said it, it sounded beautiful. Jesus prays. Jesus prays not only for the disciples he's just been with, but who else? Those who don't know yet. I'm praying for those who don't know that I am sent from the Father. I am praying for them that they will know, that those who believe in me. I pray that they will all be one. One in spirit, not one in mind, but one in spirit, as the Father and the Son are one, so the Son and the Father are one. I pray that this would be the thing that they concentrate on the most. I pray that they would hear the message of the disciples. So just as Tony's message resonates in me, just as what he's replicated and imitated and participated in, so this message of the apostles came to us. Jesus prays that this would be unifying, that this would be making them one together, one in spirit together. And that the whole world, he says, and that the world will believe you sent me. I've given them the glory, he says. I have given them all they need. They know about me. They know it's not just for Israel. They know it's not just for Gentiles, but it's for everybody that they would be saved. Everybody. And through their message, through Tony's message, through the apostles' message, through all the way down for 2022 years, we've managed to arrive here and receive that message today. Amen. You all know that message. You know that God loves you. You know that Jesus likes you. And you know that he cares so much about you. Now, what is it about our life that is now replicating that? What is it about our life that is imitating Jesus? What is it that we are participating in that shows this to other people? Jesus goes on at the end of his prayer. At verse 25, it says, I am in them, the disciples, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want those whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me, because you love me even before the world began. I am in them, and you are in me, he says. And I just want them to experience unity. Not unity in mind, we don't all think alike. Not unity in the same football team or the same sport. Not unity even denominationally. Not unity in the same political party. But unity what? In the Father and the Son. That you, what the things that you profess, that the area of life that you replicate most is God's love to everybody else. That the thing that you want most to imitate in life is Jesus and his teaching. And that you participate in that through prayer. What, brothers and sisters, you have in common with those in Ukraine and Russia and the worshiping communities that declare Jesus Christ as Lord, if you could step in there right now into their churches and they would be so encouraged that you are also a follower of Jesus. They would be so happy that you wanted to spend time with them, listening to them and sharing together and praying for one another. Amen? This is more than just a prayer. You mention occasionally, oh yeah, I'll pray you. This is more than just coming to church on Sunday. This is about kneeling down and sweating blood and tears. Like, I really want this to happen, God. I really want this to happen. I want the person that I've known for years to also be with me here today, listening and understanding how much God loves them. Think about that person right now. Think about the person in your life. Just the one person. That you would love them to know the love of God in their life. Think about who you would love to have sitting next to you here today. Think about that one person that they would just know the love of God that you do. That they would find life in the teachings of Jesus. That they would find joy in participating in prayer for one another. Ah. I know you know a person. Think about that person when you go about your everyday life, whatever it is you're doing, whether you're walking down the street in the neighborhood and there's something that reminds you of that person. Maybe it's just their mailbox. Maybe you're driving by and you see a particular company that person works for. He's like, oh, I'm going to pray for that person. Maybe it's an action that you do every day. Maybe it's washing the dishes, whatever it is you do, and you think about a person like, oh, God, I'm praying for that person. Now, make them small prayers. Make them big prayers. But pray. Pray for that person. Pray that they would have unity. What is it that you replicate? What is it in your life that you reproduce? What is it that you imitate? Is there a certain thing? You notice around couples that have been together for a long time, they kind of look the same after a while. Notice we've got some friends and they kind of like, when they're with together, they laugh the same. She starts laughing and he laughs and it sounds the same. They're like, this is like one big cacophony of people laughing in the same way. Because they've been imitating each other for years. They've been looking at each other for years. Think about if you look at Jesus long enough. Think about what that would imitate. Think about what that would replicate. Think about how that would cause you to participate in praying some more. Jesus says, I only want you to do this so that they'd have unity. So that we'd have some unity that you know that God loves the Son and the Son loves God more than we can ever understand. He goes on to say, O righteous Father, this is verse 26. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them too. It's done, Jesus says. I've done all I can. And his betrayer comes right after this text. He betrays him in the garden. Jesus says, I've done all I can. I've replicated your glory. I've imitated the things you've taught me to do. I participated through prayer. I'm actually praying for the disciples right now. And I'm praying that their message would also convince others. What they see will also see that you sent me. And he prays for people like Tony. He prays for people like Tony to replicate, imitate, and participate in prayer. How many of you are here today because somebody replicated the love of God? Raise your hand. How many of you are here today because somebody imitated Jesus' teachings and showed you what it meant to follow Jesus? How many of you, I'm presuming this will be more, have been prayed for and participated with prayer with others so that others will be healed? Yeah. And it's through this we love God. It's through this we, other people around us, will see that we love God. Through the faithful prayer of others, you've been able to seek mercy and want that more than anything else. Through the faithful prayer of others, you've been able to be the kind of people that walk humbly with God. Through the faithful prayer of others, you've been able to seek care and healing. And through that, we are able to love God. So go pray. Go pray for how many people? One person. That one person that you are thinking of and praying about. But before you pray, I want you to think about three letters. R-I-P. What is it that you are replicating? I'm going to put them on the screen for you in case you're wondering what they look like. I want you to replicate the love of God that was given for you. I want you to replicate that in your lives. What is it that you're replicating? Is it the love of God or your understanding of the love of God? What is it? Second letter, that was the first letter. Second letter, I. What is it that you are imitating? Is it the teachings of Jesus or is it something else? What is it that you're replicating? What is it that you are imitating? And then finally, P. How are you participating? How are you passionately participating in prayer today? And then when you have concentrated on that, when you've figured those RIP out, pray for the person that you would like to see believe. Love God by praying for others. Love God by praying for that person that you would love to help understand the love of God. Pray for the person you would love to see. Oh, by the way, following the teachings of Jesus is just a beautiful thing. I would love for you to understand this. And pray. Pray passionately for that person. Today, the kneeling rails are open. The steps are open. We're not going to pray for you, but I want you to pray for that one person. Think of that person right now and pray for that person. Of course, replicate, imitate, participate, but pray. You can come down the front here and kneel if you wish to. Nobody's going to pray with you. It's just a time for you to think of that person. If you want to sit in your own chair and not be a little personal altar, that's fine too. But when we replicate, imitate, and participate through prayer, others believe in Jesus. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for how you have entered into our life through other people. We thank you so much for how through other people's witness, we've been able to understand your love and your teaching. And we pray today, Lord, as we offer up those people to you in our lives, we pray, Lord God, others too will know that love and that teaching through our prayers. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name.